Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Kwasaborski calling you live and direct from Prague, the Czech Republic, the heart of Central Europe, here on a beautiful fall day where the temperature is right around 62 degrees, a little bit of sun, a little bit of cloud. It just is a perfect day for fall. And here we are tuning in to week two of the NFL and to listen to the picks that I have and some advice that I have for you guys. Of course, if you listened to me last week and took the advice, you pretty much got bamboozled. I was not very good in my picks last week. In fact, with the points, I was only 4 wins against 10 losses. And against the over-under in the six games that I picked, I was 1-2 of them, lost 3, and pushed 1, which means you tie if you're not used to knowing what a push is. But it's the first week of the NFL, and we're tuning in now to Blog Talk Radio. I'll be with you guys for the next 30 minutes. And to preview week two in the NFL, is also look at the Eagles' nice victory last week against the Redskins, or I like to call them the Deadskins, down in Washington, D.C. But first of all, I'd like to thank Blog Talk Radio to allow me to broadcast certain things live. Hopefully people are tuning in. If not, you can tune into the show later, as well as the Internet for being invented, because without the Internet, life would just not be as simple as it is these days. And of course, if there's anyone listening out there, I'd like to thank all of you guys tuning in and all my loyal followers as I'm trying to get back into the podcast thing. It's the first time that I've done 2 episodes in the same year since 2013, which also was about 4 months before my mom passed in April of 2014. So I'm trying to get back into doing things that I used to love doing and get back into some of the hobbies and kind of move on in life. It's never a very easy thing, especially when you lose a parent and one that I was so close to as I was my mother. And a lot of people out there know my story. So anyway, thanks for support, tuning in, and let's get started to it. If you look at week one in the NFL, especially if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who made a statement win in the division on the road on opening day. They go into Washington, D.C., or actually Landover, Maryland, and take on a Redskins team that really is going to struggle this year, trying to find their identity a little bit on offense. They don't really have much of a running game, and they have new sets of receivers out there or inexperienced ones. And you also have a quarterback that's playing under a one-year deal, basically, as the franchise player, which leaves a little bit of uncertainty. However, going into the game, the team dynamics of both the Eagles and the Redskins weren't too much different going into it. And the Redskins had beaten the Eagles 5 straight times, and that was something that the Eagles wanted to at least avoid. I thought the Redskins would win the game because it was in Washington, D.C., and I just think Kirk Cousins, the Washington quarterback, plays like Joe Montana against the Eagles. So I really didn't see the new Eagles secondary stepping up and making some major plays, but really the difference in the game, I think, was the first play of the game, or the first series of the game for the Eagles, and then, of course, the defense for the Philadelphia. The Eagles battered around Kirk Cousins, that Washington offensive line, and the receivers as well for Washington definitely did not step up. And there's some key points to the game. Player of the game, obviously, for the Eagles was their second-year franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz, who looked like he was in pretty much midseason form. He wasn't spectacular the whole game, but he wasn't bad either. He had a really great, I'd say a great game, over 307 yards passing. But really, it was the opening series when the Eagles got the ball. They gave the ball to the Redskins and forced a 3-and-out, forced the Redskins to punt. And one thing is that Washington special teams is pretty crappy, especially the punting and the kickoff teams. But anyway, Eagles get the ball back. They drive down. They get second and about 10, right around the 40-yard line of Washington. So they go in, and Carson Wentz gets sacked. They lose 2 yards. Next play is 3rd and 12. The Eagles fake the handoff. Carson Wentz fakes the handoff, kind of rolls around, and the pass rush is swarming down on him. He dips his shoulder, loses one rusher, Washington defender misses the second tackle, and then the third Washington defender sort of clips his heels, and Carson Wentz sets his feet and fires a beautiful ball down to Nelson Aguilar, who catches it, was just about a foot away from the Washington defender, and then tiptoes into the end zone. And what a great way to start the season on the first offensive series. It really goes to show you that Carson Wentz does seem to have what it takes to be not only a great NFL quarterback, but I'd say a franchise quarterback at this point in time. I think he's shown that all the way. And what a great story for Nelson Aguilar, the much beleaguered former number one draft pick under Chip Kelly.
He was out of USC. He was chosen with the 20th overall pick back in 2014. He's playing out his rookie contract this year and had a fantastic game, a career high in yards caught. He caught 86 yards. I think he caught about 8 balls for 86. And, of course, the opening touchdown. If there's anyone you want to see that Eagles fans really want to see get off the schneid this year on offense, it's Nelson Agholor. And right away you can tell that the new wide receivers for the Eagles, the all-pro Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, on the other side you have the speedster Torrey Smith, who's capable of putting together an all-pro year. And right away, the first play of the game on the offensive side for the Eagles, they take a shot at Torrey Smith racing down the sideline. The ball was a bit underthrown. But right away, it just goes to show you that the Eagles will be able to take these chances, and that's going to open up the underneath passing game. Guys for Nelson Agholor, who takes over in the slot after they traded Jordan Matthews to Buffalo for Ronald Darby, the cornerback. And then it will also open up the things for Zach Ertz and then most likely Darren Sproles out of the backfield. It wasn't a perfect game in terms of the way the Eagles executed. They had some series, especially the second quarter was pretty much owned by the Redskins. The Eagles get out to a 13-0 lead, and next thing you know, the Redskins are ahead 14-13. Eagles get the ball back with 1:17 in the second quarter, heading into halftime, and they methodically drove the field down, and to be able to kick a field goal to go up 16-14 heading into half. And I want to say that was one of the better drives. It wasn't a clean drive, but it was one of the better drives you'll see a team play. And that drive there, and also the opening drive of the second half where the Eagles go down and kick a field goal to make it 19-14, they both were just great drives, both by the play calling of Doug Peterson, the much maligned Doug Peterson. But I thought he had a great game plan heading before the halftime and right after the halftime to get 6 points on the board. And with the Eagles, before they kick the field goal at the end of the first half, they take one more shot to Alshon Jeffrey in the back corner of the end zone. And he needed just about another step on the wide receiver, and then he would have caught that ball. But the Eagles are going to take these shots. And they went down, and I thought they played a great game offensively and an outstanding game defensively. They did not allow Kirk Cousins to get comfortable in the pocket. The new receivers on the outside, mainly Terrell Pryor, and the receiver named Grant, who I never heard of, pretty much were non-existent. The tight end Jordan Reed wasn't a big factor in the game, and neither was Josh Doctson or Crowder on the outside. They really did not do much, and they were able to rattle Kirk Cousins all game. They were able to stuff the running back all game. And really, when you think about it, they only had one offensive touchdown. The second touchdown the first touchdown the Redskins scored was a pick six on a bad play call there by Doug Peterson. It looked like he was looking for Darren Sproles on the outside, and Darren Sproles isn't a receiver, should be catching the ball at that point. And he slips, and Carson Wentz throws the ball, gets tips. Sproles slips, and then Timmy Kerrigan, the all-pro linebacker defensive end for the Washington Redskins, just scoots in for an easy touchdown. There were some calls, obviously some throws that Wentz wants to have back. There's some play calling that Doug Peterson wants to have back, but they're both second-year guys. And listening to Philly Sports Radio, especially 97.5 The Fanatic, they're all over Doug Peterson for he's not a great play caller. And he's a second-year head coach. He does not have that much experience doing the play calling. And I thought the drives at the end of the first half and beginning of the second half were Doug Peterson settling down, calling the right plays, getting guys out in space, make sure guys get out of bounds to stop the clock, especially at the end of the first half. And then you had some shots. He took some shots to Torrey Smith twice, connected on one of them for 30 yards, and connected and went twice down to Alshon Jeffrey. That didn't result in any receptions, but the fact that they're opening it up, and the Redskins secondary had to respect the deep ball. And every team that plays the Eagles now is going to have to respect the deep ball with a speedster Torrey Smith on the outside. And then you have Alshon Jeffrey, as mentioned, on the other outside, and you have Zach Ertz. Another guy who Eagles fans keep saying is going to have a breakout year. But looking at his career stats after 3 years, he is neck and neck with Tony Gonzalez, who's a Hall of Famer, and Jason Witten, the all-world tight end out of Dallas, who I think is the best tight end I've ever seen play the game. He's just consistent. And he's also a lock for the Hall of Fame. And Zach Ertz's receptions are a little bit better than those guys, and his yardage is a little bit less. But that's what you have. It's just the fact that Zach Ertz isn't able to consistently do it over the season, put together big games. But he had the most receiving yards for the Eagles, 9 catches, 93 yards, which is fantastic for a tight end, and had a couple of key catches to keep the drive alive. But the main key to the game for the Eagles was their defense. Their defense really stepped up. Jimmy Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, who had a slightly controversial article came out about him before the game saying he's trying to usurp Doug Peterson and wants the head coaching job. I think that's kind of a bullshit article, and it's just trying to create drama where they don't need drama. This Eagles team does not need drama. But anyway, Schwartz blitzed a lot more than he did. He barely blitzed last year, and you really saw the impact of the blitz, especially the front seven and the front four, the defensive line, who just dominated all game in Washington. Brandon Graham with 2 sacks. Fletcher Cox with 2 sacks. Brandon Graham also had a strip fumble. Cox had I think he also stripped and recovered a fumble besides the one he covered for the touchdown. Jalen Mills on the outside, a cornerback, when the cornerback's Ronald Darby goes down with a gruesome-looking ankle injury, really looked like the secondary is going to struggle, and they didn't because the front seven were able to get Kirk Cousins off his spots, make him uncomfortable with his throws and not sure of himself, throwing off his back foot. Jalen Mills comes down with his first interception in the NFL right when the Eagles kind of needed it. It looked like the Redskins were going to drive down, at least get a field goal chance that would have made the score 19-17, but they didn't do it, and Jalen Mills, Kirk Cousins throws off his back foot, and Jalen Mills steps up, steps in front of the ball, and pretty much seals the win there as the Eagles go down. They get another field goal, and then eventually they get the Brandon Graham comes down when the score is 23-17. Redskins get the ball. You can kind of see that Kirk Cousins driving them down, managing the clock. Redskins will win the game 24-23, but they didn't. Brandon Graham comes out and strip sacks him, and then Fletcher Cox, just the ball bounces basically into his gut, and he just rumbles into the end zone for a touchdown. And really, just the entire defense all game played a really fantastic, fantastic game. And hats off to the front seven, the whole team, and Jim Schwartz for having an excellent game plan. The Eagles did not come out unscathed with injuries. Their best cornerback, Ronald Darby, the guy they picked up from Buffalo, who's only 22 years old, by the way, or 23, picks him up in the trade for Jordan Matthews in a draft pick. It really suffered what looked like it was a season-ending broken ankle or seriously dislocated ankle. And he had to be carted off the field in the second quarter. And that's when things for the Redskins started. The momentum shifted. They score. They get their touchdown. Carson Wentz was under a little bit more pressure, was making some higher throws. And it really looked like the Redskins could have stole the game at that point. But they didn't. The cornerback stepped up, as I said, in the secondary, really to shut down the Redskins' wide receivers. They're unfamiliar with Kirk Cousins for the most part. But Darby gets carted off. And the news comes out on Tuesday he'll only miss 4 to 6 weeks with a dislocated ankle, but no ligament damage. And when you look at that injury, it looked like, wow, he is really might miss the whole season. And he's one of the 5 or 6 players the Eagles cannot afford to lose for the whole season. They also lose their kicker, Caleb Sturgis, who missed his opening extra point, but kicked some amazing field goals, a couple of 50-yarders, and had some kickbacks, but he tore some muscles in his quad where he could be out for the entire season. It sounds like it's an 8-week injury for the muscles that he – something with dislocated his quad, something with his muscles in his quad are just really messed up. I think that's a big blow for the Eagles because I think Sturgis is a guy they came to rely upon a lot last year for points. Mainly when the Eagles were ineffective getting into the end zone. And the Eagles and Sturgis had 3 field goals and an extra point. He counted for 10 of their 30 points. And that's 1/3 of their total. And they signed, I forget his name right now, but a rookie kicker off of the Cincinnati Bengals practice squad, a guy who's never kicked before. And there are some notable veterans out there, especially someone like Nick Novak Ted Nugent. I'm not sure Nugent's first name. Mike Nugent. I had a roommate named Nugent, of course, the famous Ted Nugent. Anyway, Mike Nugent was not signed, the former kicker for, I think, the Arizona Cardinals, the Jets, and the Bengals. So they got a rookie kicker going into Kansas City this week, and I think that's going to be a very harsh environment for a rookie kicker. I'm surprised they went with the rookie, but he's young, And maybe he becomes the next Cody Parkey. Who knows? The Eagles, who Chip Kelly signed Cody Parkey, the Auburn kicker after they cut Alex Henry. Cody Parkey comes in the first year of Chip Kelly when they score all those points and sets a rookie record. And then the next year, Parkey gets hurt. Sturgis comes in, and Sturgis has kept the job ever since. So who knows? Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle. This is the Matt Quazzaborsi Show. We're about halfway through. And going over last week, my picks were horrendous. But the ones that I said for you to look at was the Jets minus 8.5, and they lose by 9. But I also said take Detroit. Even though in Detroit, Arizona was giving Detroit 2.5. And in the first half of the game, it looked like Arizona was going to win. But then Detroit has a monster second half, and especially in the fourth quarter, and they win 35-23. And I also said take the over in that game. They won that game. The other lock, I said take Cleveland getting 9.5 at home against Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's lucky to win that game 21-18. And I also said the Rams were my not only a lock to win, but they were my survivor pool pick. And they absolutely demolish the Indianapolis Colts 46-9. So they win that game. I thought the other game that almost would have been a lock was San Francisco. But they lost 23-3 against Carolina at home in a really impressive game by Carolina. I don't like Cam Newton as a quarterback. I don't think he's very good, but he showed a lot. And I thought the Saints would go into Minnesota and cover, and they get blown out by Sammy Bradford, Sammy Sleeves, as us Eagles fans like to call him, with 346 yards. I'm happy for Sam Bradford. I think he got not a raw deal in Philadelphia, but just too much criticism for a guy who's had a lot of injuries, but he's accurate and he's efficient and he just never really throws the ball very deep. He's like Alex Smith, the Kansas City quarterback that the Eagles will face today. But he had a great game and I'm happy for him. And then of course you have Adrian Peterson, who the Saints signed in the offseason to be part of the running back rotation, only gets 9 carries going back to Minnesota. He's upset about it and he should be upset about it. I have no problem with that. But do not blow up at the coach on the sidelines. I don't like that at all. And I understand that he's back in Minnesota and wants to make a statement, but still, keep that stuff in-house. Trying this 30-minute show, and there's only 13 minutes left to go in the show. We have to go through this week's picks. So let's get right to it. The Thursday night game, I chose Houston, went into Cincinnati, and man, how bad are the Bengals? They look like the Bungles. It looks like they don't listen to the coach, and they have no faith in the quarterback. Houston goes in after getting bamboozled by Jacksonville on their home opener. They win in Cincinnati 13-9, and Cincinnati was held to 9 points in 2 opening games as they were shut out by Baltimore last week, a game that I did choose Baltimore going in there. And since he fires their offensive coordinator, puts in another guy named Bill Lazor, who the Chip Kelly bought to the NFL, and good to see Bill Lazor get a chance at another chance at the offensive coordinator position as he was let go in Miami after Adam Gase took over. But I think he's a guy that can really help motivate Andy Dalton. But it looks like pretty much Marvin Lewis is done, and I think Andy Dalton's days as a starting quarterback for Cincinnati Bengals might be done, even though he has a huge, huge contract. Tennessee goes into Jacksonville, and I was very underwhelmed with Tennessee last week at home against Oakland. They lost 26-16, and they just did not look very good at all, and I was sort of surprised because Oakland's defense really isn't that good, and they gave Tennessee fits. And then Jacksonville goes into Houston with the new regime and destroys Houston 26-7. Yet Tennessee is giving Jacksonville 1.5 points at Jacksonville's home opener. You got to take Jacksonville there, and I would choose the 42 points as the over-under. Go with the under on that. Cleveland goes into Baltimore. Baltimore is giving Cleveland 8. This is the one where I don't think Cleveland will cover the points. I think Baltimore wins that game by double digits. Buffalo goes into Carolina. Carolina's home opener, they're giving Buffalo 7 points. I think Carolina wins that by double digits. You have the Patriots, who got smashed by the Kansas City Chiefs opening night, Thursday night in the NFL Week 1, go into New Orleans as 6.5-point favorites. The over-under is 57. I think the Patriots win that game. I think they cover by 6.5. If that spread was 7 or 7.5, I might go with the Saints in that game. Eagles, Kansas City. Kansas City's favored by 5.5 points. I think Kansas City will win the game, but I'm going to take the Eagles with the points. It's not a bad spread for a road team that the Eagles showed how well they played on the road last week, which is another dimension that you want to do in the NFL is win on the road. I'm not sure the Eagles can win the game. In fact, I don't think they will, but I think they can cover the 5.5. Then you have Minnesota going into Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's home opener, Minnesota on the road. Yet Pittsburgh's giving Minnesota 6 points. I like Minnesota with the points in that game. I'm going to take the Vikings getting 6 points in Pittsburgh. The next game is Chicago goes into Tampa Bay. It'll be Tampa Bay's season and opener at home after Hurricane Irma ravaged it. The fans are going to be fired up. The team's going to be fired up. The Bears are not that good. Tampa Bay's favored by 6.5. I see Tampa Bay win it easily, probably by double digits or more, coming into Mike Glennon's coming back party from the Chicago, being the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Miami goes into the Chargers. I took the Chargers last week, and they should have won on the should have covered on the road against Denver. Miami's also season opener. Again, as soon as the hurricane announced and the NFL canceled their game against the Buccaneers, the Dolphins went right out to California to practice and get used to the time zone. I kind of like Miami, too, because they're also going to be playing with a lot of emotion. They haven't played a game this week. Yes, it's the Los Angeles Chargers' home debut in their small stadium of under 30,000 seats. Probably will be sold out. But I just think Miami has a lot of momentum going to this game. They're very well rested. The starters haven't played since week three of the preseason. You might think they're rusty, but at least they're rested. And they're also chomping at the bit. And again, they're going to play with the emotion that Hurricane Irma for all their fans out there back home in Miami. I like them getting the 3.5 points, which means that even if the Chargers win by a field goal, Miami would still cover with the points. Then you have the much maligned New York Jets going into Oakland. Oakland's debut, the line is minus 13.5 in favor of Oakland. I think Oakland wins that easily, probably by a touchdown and a field goal, two touchdowns and a field goal at least. The LA Rams, what a showing last week in the debut of Sean McVay as a head coach. The new regime out with the Rams out in LA, they're back in LA, and they absolutely destroy the Indianapolis Colts. 46-7. I mean, that was just an awful, awful game if you're the Colts, who look like they're on a bye this week. And they go in. I really like the fact that the Rams, they should cover 2.5 against the Washington Skins. Again, Washington's coming off a loss where they got pretty much dominated by the Eagles' defense. And offensively, the Eagles have played a great game, a very efficient game. I think the Skins are heading into one of those next trying to trend downward. I really do. They fired their general manager, Scott McClanahan, who had done a fantastic job of rebuilding the Skins, especially through the draft. And I thought he drafted really well and able to keep Kirk Cousins there. But now they got rid of him. Bruce Allen, the president, takes over the GM role again. And I just don't see that. I just see them trending downward, especially the fact Kirk Cousins, you know, it's sort of unsettled. And when you're bringing new receivers and making your younger receivers, especially the wideouts like Josh Doctson, who really didn't play last week, Grant and Crowder step up with a quarterback, they're not sure if he's going to be here next year. I really think that doesn't show well. And psychologically, I think that plays well. There's no way Washington wins that game against the Rams, especially 2.5 points. I think LA all the way. Dallas goes into Denver. And Dallas is favored by 2.5 in Denver. And Denver, another team with a new regime, a new coach. And they barely beat the Chargers opening night, but still, I still think Dallas going into Denver, I think Denver's going to play with a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be motivated. Everyone steps up and plays the Cowboys. Again, the Cowboys, who had an uneven showing against the Giants last week, I still think Denver with the points, I mean, you have to take – when you're getting 2.5 points at home, you have to take them. San Francisco goes into Seattle. Seattle is favored by 14 points. I think Seattle wins that one easily. They had an awful showing against Green Bay on opening day, losing that game 19, only managing 3 points, 9 points, sorry, against Green Bay, whose defense I don't think is all that great, but the Seattle offensive line looked horrendous. But yet San Francisco's in a complete rebuild, much more than Denver is, and I think Seattle's going to be really upset. They're playing at home. They're playing a division rival, 14 points. I think they cover that and cover that easily. Green Bay goes into Atlanta. Atlanta, the defending NFC champions, who beat Green Bay last year, I believe, to get to the Super Bowl. They did. In Atlanta. They go back in again. Green Bay does. Atlanta's favored by three. I think they win that game because I just think Atlanta didn't have a great opening week. But again, they're in Chicago, and you know all the week one's really tough to predict. But I think Atlanta covers those points. And the Detroit Lions, the sleeper team of the NFC, goes into the New York Giants, who look horrendous, up into East Rutherford, New Jersey, into Giants Stadium. And I really think Detroit covers the points. The Giants are favored by three, but I really think the Giants are not 3 points better than Detroit. I don't think all of a sudden that – I don't think the Giants just suffered a hiccup against Dallas last week. I think they're just really bad offensively, even with all their weapons and even with all-pro quarterback Eli Manning, who, to be honest, has had a few good, great, great years, but the rest of his career has been something above average to good and has had some great years. He just never misses a game. But he was just out of sync with his receivers, his offensive line. They had no running game. Usually when the NFL puts the Giants going into Dallas on opening day or opening Sunday of the NFL, those games are usually shootouts. They're close games. And both teams, I mean, Dallas didn't look very complete either, but the Giants just really laid an egg. And I think you have Detroit, a team that last week, as I mentioned before, it was one of my locks for last week, 35-23 over the Arizona Cardinals at home. I think they carry that momentum into a Giants team that they know they can beat. I think, and the Giants have been a team that's just been a fourth quarter team, which is dangerous in any sport, especially the NFL, when you just get all your points towards the end. And they've been doing that now all of last year and the beginning of this year. I think they can beat the Giants. I really do. I think they can go in and not only cover but win this game. Going back to the Eagles game, we have about 3.5 minutes left. I think Kansas City has a lot of momentum. Of course, you have the great reunion between Benny Logan and the Eagles. Benny Logan was drafted by the Eagles out of LSU, played out his rookie contract and signed with Kansas City. I'm just kidding. That's one of the highlights of the show. But it's also Andy Reid going against his protege, Doug Peterson, and the old famous Eagles coach, Andy Reid, the most winningest coach in franchise history, and his top 10 in all times of NFL wins. And is just a great coach, a great person, and has a really solid, I'd say a great team out there in Kansas City. I'm not saying top tier, but I think they can challenge. They can challenge. They go into New England on opening night, watching the Patriots get their rings, and they go in and they destroy the Patriots, especially in the second half and fourth quarter, and win that game. They're going to carry that momentum into their home opener against the Eagles, a team that, you know, is an out-of-division opponent that's also coming off an emotional win over the Redskins. I think the game's going to be tighter because Kansas City missing their all-pro safety, and I think Carson Wentz is still a bit of an unknown, and I don't think Alex Smith is as good as he was against the Patriots. I think the Eagles' defense is a better defense than Kansas City's defense, who again is missing their all-pro safety, Eric Berry, who's out for the rest of the year with a torn Achilles tendon. I really think that Kansas City wins this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I don't, you know, the only scenario where I see the Eagles winning the game is as if Alex Smith is just off, if he's just throwing the ball, and he's not a guy who's going to beat you deep, but he's going to beat you underneath, and he's efficient. He doesn't turn the ball over very much. It's going to take some fluke gifts for the Eagles to win this game, but I think they're going to cover the points. I see Kansas City winning maybe by three or four points there. We have 90 seconds to go in this week two session, and we just want to finish up by saying hopefully you listen to the picks. Thanks for tuning in to my radio show. I know I talk really fast in a half hour. Maybe we stretch it to 45 minutes next week. We will see what the listeners like. But, you know, who knows? It's been a pleasure talking to you guys. I appreciate even if you're listening or not, at least I get to talk about the NFL week two. And I will head out and watch the games at some of the American-style sports bars here in Prague. And I love the fact that the games are at least 7 at night. They're great for me because I get to do an entire day of activities around Prague and here around Prague. Went swimming, sauna, massage, shopping, and the Eagles. Not a bad Sunday. I hope everyone's doing well in your corner of the world. I hope you had a chance to listen to something that's less serious than what's going on in the world right now. And thanks again for tuning in, for all my loyal listeners. And remember, inspire the inspiration. Do not wait for the inspiration to inspire you. Have a great week, too, everybody. Bye-bye.